Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Are you, in addition to being a battle rap fan, are you also just a fan of hip-hop rap?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you gotten the chance to listen to the new Clips album? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, I did. I actually listened to it on my way to work. Great album, honestly. I think that it didn't overstay its welcome. I thought that, 13 tracks is kind of like trimmed down perfectly. I thought that all the features delivered. I know there's been a lot of backlash, or not backlash, but there's been a little bit of like a little bit of pushback. People feel like Stove God should have had a verse. You know what I'm saying? He only had the hook on their song. But I thought all the verses delivered. I thought Malice killed it the entire time. I already knew what Pusha was about, you know what I'm saying? And Malice has always been nice, but I think that he for sure was trying to make a statement, you know what I'm saying, with every verse. I just loved like how they played off each other too, how like they kind of intertwined their verses on a couple of the tracks. Pharrell, legendary producer, laced them up with some really, really good production. And yeah, I think you got everything that you wanted on the album. The double entendres with the drugs, and then mix that in with like the subliminal disses and overt disses as well too. It just a hip hop traditionalist shouldn't have any issue with this. And then I would say even like new hip hop fans should understand why people rally behind this type of music. I think that it sticks to the core essence of hip hop as we know it. So
I've already seen things on social media saying that this is a potential like Grammy album of the year. Do you see that in this album?
Yes, considering that I feel like, we're already halfway through the year, and I don't think there's been an album. There's been good albums, don't get me wrong, but I don't think there's been an album that has like made this large of a splash on the year. I think the rollout also lends that type of merit as well too. I also think just typically with, you know, Grammy nominated albums, it usually has like a formula, right? I think that the formula is usually, it varies because you have some rap albums that just win it for the sake of winning it. But like usually it includes, an avant-garde style of rapping, which I would think a lot of people think that the Clips are like very traditional, but I do feel like there's an avant-garde nature to their style in terms of like how they rap over the production and whatnot. I think Pharrell being a part of it too, I think Pharrell is like a well-known person within the Grammy Academy as well as like in hip-hop culture in general too. And I think that they probably have the most high profile release this year too. And I think that it'll sell really good, so I wouldn't be surprised if they do win Rap Album of the Year. I do think that there's a whole lot of year left, so we'll see. But usually with like the later releases, they don't really get the nod for nomination until the following year anyway. So this is like the perfect time for them to release. And usually the summer releases actually get the most traction. So in short, I do think that there'll be for sure a Grammy nominated, that album will be Grammy nominated by the time the Grammys come in February.
The only other album that I can think of that stacks up to this Clips album is Kendrick Lamar's GNX. And I was wondering, what did you think about that album? How do you compare these two? Because it seems like it's the only comparison in my mind that maybe you could make, right, as far as like recent releases.
Yeah, now that you mention that, I forgot that was released in the latter portion of 2024, so it wasn't up for... He won a lot of Grammys for the song, Not Like Us, but he didn't win any Grammys that were aligned to the album. So actually, I take that back. GNX is probably the front runner, but the Clips album, Legato Sorta Mal, is probably a good runner-up. But in terms of that album, I mean, first off, I'm a huge Kendrick Lamar fan, like not because of his recent resurgence, but been a Kendrick Lamar fan since like the early 2010s. I would say that GNX is just another great album in this collection of already great albums, right? Like I'm still kind of wrestling with where I rank it amongst his other great albums, because I feel like all the albums are great in their own individualistic way. I think for GNX, I just like the balance that he presents in the album. Like you have the deep cuts with Man in the Garden, or with Heart Part 6 and stuff like that, very introspective stuff. But then you have like the in your face braggadocious stuff with Hey Now, or just TV Off and stuff like that. So you have bangers there too. But then you have like his master of like storytelling, conceptual work with Reincarnated, you know what I'm saying? So I really love the album. I like the fact that it's kind of short and straight to the point, comparatively speaking to like a Kendrick Lamar album, right? And I like the fact that, you know, he kind of like used that opportunity to kind of like reinvigorate the West Coast. I think that was a very, very important thing, a huge thing for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if that wins, because I actually forgot that that was released, I want to say, November of 2024. So
really quick, I'm going to give you a proper introduction. I really like how we're starting this conversation, but really quick for everybody out there listening, my name is Chris, this is Chitash, and today I'm joined by M Lang from the YouTube channel Speaking Our Language, content creator. M, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. We're already halfway through July. It seems like this summer is kind of speeding by. But I'm doing good, man. I have a lot of great content in the works. Right now, I go through like this hibernation period or dormant period where I'm like crafting all the scripts, getting all the footage together, and then I'll have a barrage of releases. So I don't really release as often as I would like, just because I'm very like intentional and careful with what I release out there. But yeah, I'm doing good. Doing good. Yeah.
When somebody asks you what your YouTube channel is about, what do you usually say? How do you describe it?
Man, that's a good question. I would just say a channel that prides itself in both documenting history, educating new fans, and also highlighting the accomplishments of the battlers. When I first came into being a battle rap fan, I was just very enthused by how talented these battle rappers are. I was very, very into hip hop at a young age, right? Because my father, he from the South, but like he was heavy into like Tupac, Biggie, Ice Cube, you know, Jay-Z and those guys, like very prolific rappers, right? So early on, I was into hip hop. But in my time period, specifically in the 2010s, when I was becoming a teenager, I felt like there was a lot of there was a shift, right, in terms of like what was commercially accessible. And even in the 2000s, there was a shift or whatever. But like when I came across like battle rap, where I feel like it was like based in like the lyrical based in the lyricism that the battler is bringing, it kind of like drew me in. Like, and also a person that was like gravitated towards like literature and poetry in high school, and even in college, right? I was very, very adamant about what the message is or what the content is, as opposed to like the sound. So for me, battle rap was like the happy medium where it was based in lyricism, but it was also competitive nature, because I was also an athlete. Like I did football, wrestling, track. So being an athlete and being competitive and kind of like marrying that with like the lyrical aspect was just like a happy medium. I know I'm gonna do a bunch of tangents, so you sometimes you're gonna have to reel me in, but yeah, so when I think of my channel, I just think of a channel that prides itself in like historical documentation when it comes to battle rap, educating new fans, and also highlighting the battlers. I feel like you know, we have awards out there via Champion of the Year by Jay Black, and even LTBR, Let's Talk Battle Rap. They do a great job of highlighting when people are doing a great job within their calendar year or just in general. But I feel like there needed to be another, I guess, version or format of that in the YouTube realm. A guy that I really, really valued as like a I guess, a mentor from afar with someone called Minnesota Luke, a great historian, a guy that was, like, probably, in my opinion, one of the best and most brilliant battle rap historians in the culture, even though he's kind of not really in the culture anymore. I felt like when he kind of took a step back from that, like, no one really ran with that baton. And not to say that I'm going to try to fill his shoes. I feel like those are, you know, massive shoes to fill. But I did feel like there was kind of a void there when it came to, like, you know, battle rap history. So I kind of wanted to do my own version of that, just with a little twist here and there.
Do you remember the very first rap battle you watched or saw?
Yes. The very first. So it's funny because, like, I'm pretty sure I was watching battle rap before I knew what it was. So, like, 106 in Park, I remember seeing Hollow on there. I remember seeing Lux on there and stuff like that. But I just probably didn't recognize it in the moment. And I probably ran across a couple battles before, even preceding that, too. Like, I know for sure, I didn't know it then, but I know it now, that I've for sure seen Arsenal versus Conceited before I knew what it was. And it was, like, in passing, like, one of my friends was watching it. But a battle that I remember watching all the way through with the consciousness of it being an actual battle was Arsenal versus Shoddy Horror, which is important to note this, because there's a reason why that became the most viewed English speaking battle in the world, because the traction that it was able to get, right? I feel like Shoddy Horror is one of the best international battle rappers, period. And then Arsenal in his time period, in that particular run in 2012, it's one of the best runs in battle rap history. And also, he was one of the most talked about battle rappers in the early 2010s as well, too. And in that time, the algorithm of YouTube, like, those battles caught traction really quick, especially if they were really good battles. And I feel like Arsenal and Shoddy Horror is easily a top 25, top 30 battle of all time, all things considered. But that was the first battle that I remember watching and knowing what it was. The first battle that made me a battle rap fan, on the other hand, is none other than DNA versus Disaster. That's what reeled me in into, like, you know, digging into the crates and educating myself on the history of the battle rap culture. DNA vs. Disaster still holds up as one of the best battles ever, in my opinion, from the grudge match aspect, from the freestyling aspect, the intensity, the passion, there being, like, you know, a huge figure sponsoring the battle. Drake was sponsoring the battle at the time, too, in 2011. And also, I think the biggest takeaway that I had was when they, like, shook hands and did an interview right after the battle. I thought that was, like, an ultimate signifier of respect. And, you know, and it kind of contextualized the fact that it is a sport. And even though they're saying, like, very disparaging things to one another, at the end of the day, they both have the same passion to do the same thing, which is to entertain, which is to show that they're the best battle rapper in the world. And to, you know, just, it's an outlet for them, too. It's like controlled chaos. Like, I call battle rap the theater of character assassination, because at the end of the day, it's a lot of theatrics behind it. Half of the time, they don't mean what they say. Half of the time, the things that they say they will do, they would never do. But because there is almost like this veil between us and the battlers, for a split second, kind of like wrestling, we believe and we buy into what is being presented. And, you know, I kind of got, like, very intoxicated by that feeling of, like, feeling like something could happen, but knowing that nothing ultimately will happen, because I'm not a violent person, right? So, yeah, that was the battle that really got me into battle rap, was DNA and Disaster. I still feel like that's one of the best battles ever.
The way that you organize your channel too, I was wondering if you can explain those different elements that you have, like the fact that you do, there's a blogger element, or a fact that you do rankings. I know you have interviews with some battlers too.
Yeah. So, coming in, I was very strategic and very, thoughtful about how I wanted to organize the channel. I feel like a part of being a content creator is, you know, just knowing how to create content for certain people and certain audiences. And a lot of people come to my channel for different things. I do want to, because one of the elements is kind of inspired by another channel, and I'm always big on bigging up other channels and whatnot. The Rapper's Pentagon section, that is primarily where I do top five oriented stuff. My first season of doing my channel, I did a Rapper's Pentagon contest where I pretty much constructed a top five performances for five different battle rappers, and the person that won the most votes for the best collection of performances ended up winning like a cash prize at the end. I did that the first year, haven't really done it since, but I still acknowledge the people that like it.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
A lot of, like, praise for their collection. But the Rapper's Pentagon concept came from Watch Mojo. Watch Mojo is one of the best channels that you can find on YouTube when it comes to list, right? I binge watch, and I still binge watch Watch Mojo to this day. They have a top 10 list for everything and anything. And what I realized was that when it comes to stuff like that, people are hooked in by lists, not necessarily because of the order all the time, but because they want like certain things to be highlighted, or they want certain things to be put into a spotlight. Because half of the time when I'm watching, like, you know, I think it was like top 10 movies of the decade or something like that. I wasn't really trying to see exactly what movies were ranked in a pecking order. I was just trying to see what movies they were going to highlight. Because I think just being a part of a list is more important than the actual ranking itself. Now, obviously, being number one has its own, distinguishable factors. But I just understood the art of making a list and the art of, you know, fanfare and presenting something in a certain way. So the Rapper's Pentagon is a section of my show where I pretty much do a top five performances for every battler, you know, or a certain battler at the time. The most recent one I did was JC, and that was actually one of the highest views videos that I have for this year. And I think a lot of people like it because it's a list and it's digestible, but it's also present you enough historical backing for you to, like, you know, sit with it. Like, when I do these top five performances videos for each battler, I don't just say why the performance was good and why it's ranked where it's ranked. I give you somewhat of a background, a history background of, like, where they were in their career when they took that battle, why it was significant, why people revered in a certain way. And I think it's, like, a perfect blend of being very informational while also being digestible. My challenge has always been providing as much information as possible without boring the audience. And I feel like with those top five videos, I'm able to give them everything they want within a 15, 20 minute span, you know? So, but that's one section of it, the Rapper's Pentagon, which is heavily influenced by Watch Mojo. And I don't remember the order, so I know I probably have them in a certain order, but I'll just name the other elements. The other element is called The Apex, The Run, and The Return. This is heavily influenced by, I think it's called Sports Base, where, like, you know how, like, they do, like, these segments where, like, this one shot, we're going to rewind and tell you why this one shot is so significant. Yeah. Or they did one about Reggie Miller doing like the 2 3-pointers in that little time span. This is more about breaking down a particular time period or particular frame of time where a battler was the best in the world at one point. So I broke it down into the apex, the run, and the return. Apex is pretty much the peak of a battler. So far, I've done the apex for Big T, who was the first ever like person of the series, one of my favorite battlers ever. Not in my top five at this current moment, but still one of my favorite battlers ever for sure. Big T, I did B Magic for Apex. For the run, this is about a battler having the best calendar year, right? So I done the run for O-Red for 2017. I done the run for Chilla Jones for 2020. I did the run for another battler. And sorry, I'm trying to remember everything. I don't have my notes in front of me. And then the return. I'll just do the most recent video I did for the return. I did the return of Iron Solomon. Iron Solomon, in my opinion, had one of the best returns, you know, coming after the Murder Mook battle in 2012, coming back in 2015, battling Daylight, battling Disaster, battling B Magic. Then after B Magic, he took Clips. Then he took Illmac. Then after that, I think he took Nitty. And then he had one of his best years in 2018, where he took Chilla, T-Top, JC, Big K, and O-Red, which was like his last battle that he had before he kind of took his hiatus. So that's what I did for the return. The purpose of this is just to highlight when a battler was great for the most part, because I feel like battle rap is very much a what have you done for me lately type sport. You're only as good as your last performance, which I think is there's beauty in that because it holds the battlers accountable and, you know, it kind of keeps them from being complacent, you know. But at the same time, I do think that like there's like selective amnesia when it comes to like certain battlers, you know. Specifically, I felt like, you know, I was really adamant about doing the Big T Apex because I do feel like if no one highlights how great he is or how great he was back then the newer fans won't understand why he keeps getting brought back to battle, you know? And on top of that, I think that, you know, we sometimes do a poor job of paying homage in battle rap and in hip hop in general. I feel like with it being such a competitive sport, it's all about who's the guy now. You know, I feel like in every other genre, you know, whether it be country music, whether it be, you know, classical music or rock, there's a certain level of homage paid to like the people that were doing it. Right. I don't feel like we have that same type of level in battle rap. So I was kind of trying to find like a way to kind of, I don't know, praise and highlight the battlers. So that's my way of doing that one. The third element that I have is the blogger side, which has actually been the one that I've been doing the most as of late, just because, you know, it enables me to kind of release content more frequently. The blogger side is pretty much wearing like pretty much a traditional blogger, doing interviews, right? Talking about current topics in the culture, because a lot of my stuff is retrospective stuff, which is another section we can get into later. But yeah, like touching on particular things, right? Like all last year, I was pretty much on the blogger side for most of my year. I still kind of touched on like all time work, but it was for the most part from the standpoint of a conscious mind of a blogger, right? So with that, it's a lot of like current events. It's a lot of interviews. It's a lot of just regular conversations, you know. So last year, I think that with me just focusing on that side of things actually garnered like most of my success. Like I feel like I had one of the best outputs last year. There was a time period where like every video I was dropping was doing amazing numbers. I still have one of my most highest viewed videos from last year, which was like the top 25 rounds of all time. That's about to eclipse 300,000 views. And for the type of work that I do, that's a pretty huge deal. So the blogger side is pretty much just, you know, having that mindset and having like the content of like a blogger that usually would do content, you know. So I've done recaps of events, which I rarely do, but sometimes I'm compelled to do it. You know, I've done interviews, stuff like that, and also like other topics that just come to mind at the time. So, and then the last section is the retrospective, which is like very, very rare that I get into that bag. It really takes me like really having to be compelled to write about a particular event. But the retrospective is pretty much me talking about a specific event that I feel like really changed the culture, right? One of my first retrospective pieces I did was called How Small Rooms Revived URL. So I did a whole retrospective about the importance of Born Legacy, Band, and Volume, and how the trajectory of URL changed once they implemented those types of events into their system consistently, right? I feel like 2015, 2016, it was very much a big stage oriented. A lot of their events were, you know, 500, 600, 700, 800 to 1,000 plus people, which is good because, you know, you get your ticket sales and all that. But I do feel like there was something missing in regards to like pushing the envelope when it comes to lyricism and creativity. And then when you get Born Legacy 2, which I feel like kind of was a revamp and a restart to the URL format, where you were able to get Mike P versus Tink, where you were able to get Av versus Rum Nitty, which I think individually has done wonders in terms of revamping and, you know, returning the clock in that regard. I just think that, you know, it kind of gave URL that push to kind of like bring on new talent, right? Because I also feel like it was a great stomping grounds for rising talent, but also it was just a great return to form in terms of the essence as well, too. Specifically the Volume as well. I feel like the Volume was like a great respark that they needed. I feel like the first five are very monumental when it comes to creating like great classics. I feel like the first Volume if it didn't have two particular battles that ultimately could have got vaulted, Chess and Trez and B-Magic and Av, that could have very well been one of the best events ever, in my opinion. But Volume 1 is one of the most important events in battle rap history, you know. So, but that was one of the retrospective pieces I did as well, too. Yeah, those are all the elements, honestly. I just wanted to have, like, a channel that had a diverse array of content. I kind of wanted it to be, like, a hub for content. You can come here for retrospective pieces. You can come here to just see a couple lists here and there. You can come here to pretty much dive into the history of a particular battler. You can find an array of things in this one channel. So I was very adamant about creating a channel that has a barrage of things that you can look at.
When you have certain videos where you're doing rankings, like let's say if it is ranking battle rappers of all time, what is your criteria for making that list? And do you get a lot of people who come like into your comments section and maybe they heavily, heavily disagree with your list, or they have like a completely different set of criteria that they use? What's that like?
Well, I'm very big into interacting with the comments, for better or for worse. I feel like you can kind of like, I probably shouldn't interact as much because I know it's primarily just negativity that's there. But I think I naturally entertain conversations because I'm just that passionate about battle rap and battle rap discourse. But yes, to answer your question, I do get a lot of pushback for every video that I make, honestly. But the thing is, though, is like I never really like take it to heart because I know that like when I'm creating these lists, it's done from an objective point of view, even though we all technically have our like, you know, things that, you know, we're selective about, you know, but I know ultimately it's from an objective point of view. And I also know that like, I'll back up anything that I say. The issue with the comments is that like, they'll say something and then more often than not, they're not expecting someone to respond. But when I actually do respond and like, hey, this is why I did this, what would you have at this spot instead? They disappear. Like, it's kind of like Homer Simpson going back into the bushes. Like, you know, so But I always get pushback about my list. And in regards to how I construct lists, it's different. The criteria I use for, you know, the rapper's Pentagon, the top five performances, is different than a top 10 list that I would create, or the top 50 list that I would create, that I created last year, or even like the starting five concept that I introduced this year. Different criterias. And the funny thing about it is like, the criteria is mentioned within the first minute of the video for every time. Like, the rapper's Pentagon, I say small disclaimer, get my blurb there. The top 50 battle rappers video, I talked about there being a committee of seven people. I talked about there being a voting system. I talked about the criteria that was taken into account. And then, like, the top 10 list, I have, like, criteria that I mentioned in there as well, too. But that's the thing. People skip to the meat and potatoes. They don't like the intro, and I understand that, and that's why I never really have an issue with regurgitating the same stuff that I say within the first minute of the video, because I know people's attention span are not that great, and that's no slight to the people, but I just know that for the most part, when you come to YouTube, there's a reason why, if you look into YouTube analytics, there's like a peak within your video, and then there's like a dip in your video, and I know where those peaks and dips are, so. Yeah, I kind of know when people are paying attention and when they're not. So, but in terms of the criteria that I had specifically for the top 50 battle rappers, it was a collection of things. Like I said, I didn't really have it in front of me at the right now, but like I'll go off of like core memory. We talked about notable wins. We talked about years of distinction, right? Which is was just something I added to their each battler's individual note card. Years of distinction. Consistency, impact.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Accolades, right. And a lot of people think that impact and accolades are like the same. It's not, right. You can have an impact on a culture or have impact in a certain period of time, but the accolades don't match. And on the other end, you can have a barrage of accolades and accomplishments, but they're not impactful, you know? So those were a few things that we considered when we were crafting our top 50 battle rappers list. Now, for the top five performances, this is where I get a lot of flack because they don't understand the concept of Rapper's Pentagon, but that's okay. Top five performances for that is, I base it off of something different. In battle rap, everything is a debate and everything is conversational and everything has a gray area. When I was crafting the Rapper's Pentagon concept, I wanted it to kind of be clear cut, especially if I was doing like a cash prize, at the end of the contest. So the object of the top five performances was to craft the performances based on the opponent that they went against, the quality of material, and if there was clear separation. That's a pretty, pretty important thing, right? A lot of times when people talk about people's best performances, more often than not, they happen in a debatable battle, right? But that's the thing. Can I honestly say, and obviously I'm saying this within the confines of the concept, right? Can I honestly say that, you know, a performance is one of your best performances when you didn't clearly win? Like, how do I go about that? Because what if I'm comparing you to a battler that has five amazing top-notch performances and all of them are clear wins, and you have, and your best performance is against someone else that might have still beat you, it's like, how do you go about that? Especially in the confines of a contest, right? So I try to focus on the performances that show clear separation. But there's still like a pecking order from there. I'm not saying that you have to have the clearest win ever, but there still had to be a level of separation shown. Like, for example, I had K-Shine's performance against A-Verb as his number one performance, right? That's a clear win, like body bag territory, right? But when it came to Loso, right, I had his performance against JC as number one. Now, here's the thing. You could argue that JC and Loso is a 2-1 victory or whatever. And you could say K-Shine against A-Verb is a 3-0 victory, right? The thing about it is not just the performance you have, right? But it's also the separation being shown. And I give extra points when your opponent is good and you still show separation. For example, Ill Will versus B Magic. And mind you, I made this in like 2022. So obviously there's other performances that could have swept in and like kind of took it over. But in 2022, I had Ill Will's performance against B Magic as his best performance in this catalog. You could argue that there's other performances. Like you might say, oh, the Rum Nitty performance is better than that. Oh, the Hitman performance is better than that, or the Hollow performance is better than that. The distinguishable factor is that he was not only great in that battle against a good B-Magic, but he showed clear separations. I don't feel like he clearly beat Hitman. I don't feel like he clearly beat Nitty. I don't really feel like he clearly beat Hollow, right? So I couldn't really implement that in there unless I felt like he clearly showed separation. I feel like he didn't. So the criteria I use for like the Rapper's Pentagon versus the criteria I would use for any other list I would create is immensely different, you know. But I mention that in the videos, but sometimes you just don't get it. So.
Do you find that when you're watching a rap battle, these battlers are crafting and constructing their rounds differently depending on the round? So it's not like they just write to their heart's content. They're actually saying certain things in the first round, or they're structuring their verses differently in the first round versus if it's the last round.
Yeah, so I made a video on this, another thing that's kind of part of the blogger side too, just because I couldn't really find like another dimension to add, and like 4 is my favorite number, so I just wanted to keep it at 4 parts. But I made a video, or made a series called Battle Rap Tactics. This is all about breaking down the science of battle rap and how to, like, you know, maneuver your way through around the ring when it comes to like round placement, when it comes to references, when it comes to diversifying your punches and stuff like that. And I think the one that caught a lot of traction was round placement. I think that there's an art in knowing how to place particular moments and particular rounds in certain areas. I feel like there's certain battlers that are strategic and that do set up their rounds a certain way. And I feel like there's just certain battlers that don't really know how to structure their rounds. And you can kind of see it with, you know, how they cut their rounds at the end, or, you know, maybe they have an angle that they should have put in their third, they have in their second or first, you know, like certain tactical things like that. I feel like the best battle rappers in the world have those particular things that they, you know, structure in that way. I use Jazz the Rapper, for example. Jazz the Rapper had a perfectly executed second round for Vixen. I feel like she intended to have that second round there because she knew it would be a deflating round going into the third, right? When it comes to Geechee Gotti, right? I feel like he strategically placed his first for Tay Rock there, even though that could have been his third for the battle, because that's one of the ones where you're trying to deflate anything that he has to say preceding his round, right? And then you have someone like Illmac, who specifically puts his conceptual round against Big K in the third round because he wanted that lasting impression, because he knew he had the last word. I honestly think that it depends. It's a case-by-case scenario thing, and I also think it depends on the type of battler that you have. Someone that battles straight up, like I'll use this. I feel like he's like one of the best straight-up battle rappers. Like, not to say he doesn't use strategy, but I feel like he can just beat you off of just being great. Tay Rock, right? I honestly don't feel like he purposely intended to have the second rounds be his best round. I think that just became a thing that just happened on its own. I think that what primes that is the fact that he has such a competitive nature. So anytime he's down 1-0, that second round just so happens to be where he has the most intensity, you know? So, or another example is Rum Nitty. I don't feel like he purposely like tries to place his best round at a certain spot. It's just delivered a certain way, you know? So, but yeah, to answer your question, I do feel like there's certain battlers that try to set up certain things. Like Hollow Don is known to be very strategic. And he's a person that I feel like not only has his rounds structured a certain way or the round placement structured a certain way, but he's a person just like Disaster that have sections of material that they place in certain areas. Like they may have like a section of their round that they may take out of there and place it somewhere else because it applies, you know? He did that versus Charlie Clips. When he kind of seen that there was traction behind the style breakdown of Clips, but he thought about going a different area, but then he kind of brought it back to the same concept that he was talking about Clips before in the first round. That was an on the fly thing, but there's not that many people that are that talented to do something like that, and that's a huge risk as well too. But yeah, round placement and also structuring rounds, I feel like there's people that are like proficient when it comes to that. That's where you get like, you know, those magical moments. Then there's just people that just write great bars, and that's okay too. But I feel like a lot of those proficient people when it comes to ring IQ and structure usually, you know, win battles off of that alone. So
I hope this next question makes sense. I'm gonna use an analogy to MMA just to kind of kick it off. So they used to say early on in the days of MMA that you had people specialize. So you would have somebody who would maybe literally dress up in a kimono going up against like a wrestler just in spandex.
Yeah. It was wild back then. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And slowly over time, what you've seen is that instead of everybody bringing their individual specialty, like if you're a wrestler or if you're a jiu-jitsu athlete or if you're a striker, everybody's kind of training the same thing. So you have somebody like Ilya Topura who just won, you know. He wrestles, he's trains in jiu-jitsu, he trains in striking, he trains in all of those things, versus maybe I'm sure he is good at one of them, but he encompasses like all those different styles. And to compare it to battle rap, do you find battle rappers that specialize in just being like super aggressive, super lyrical, like very funny or comedic? Or do you find, are battle rappers these days encompassing like all those things in their sets?
That's a tough question. I understand what you mean, but that's a tough question. Because I would say that like, I'll put it to you like this. I feel like a lot of battle rappers now are for sure incorporating punchlines into their style. Like, it's almost like involuntary at this point. I feel like a lot of people know that like punchlines have become somewhat of a necessity, because it's about being a master of ceremony, and a part of being a master of ceremony is knowing how to garner that attention. And if you're not charismatic enough to tell a story, or charismatic enough to be comedic, you can say a create a punchline though they'll draw the audience in, right? I think that being a punchline rapper is kind of being stigmatized now, because you have like people that do it at a high level that are like doing it at unprecedented levels, whether it's you know, Nitty, whether it's Twerk. You know, back then it was conceded, Be Magic, in quantum physics, you know. But in terms of like there being more all around battlers now, I honestly can't say that. I feel like there's battlers for sure, up and coming battlers that, you know, incorporate a bunch of different other styles. Like, I feel like Eunice is a person that incorporates you know, angling mixed in with the punching, mixed in with the performance and stuff like that. But in the grand scheme of things, I think a part of the reason why, you know, a lot of people feel like there isn't a lot of like new stars is because of the fact that a lot of them are trying to become like just bar for bar battlers. But the issue with that is like you have to be like exceptional to do that. Like you have to be like unprecedented. Like it reminds me of when Chilla Jones came in. I feel like Chilla Jones was just a bar for bar guy, you know? And like usually those guys used to get like lost in the mix, right? Because you had like Bourne back in the day that was battling. You had, you know, other battlers that were just like really, really good when it came to straight rapping. But he had to do something unprecedented to stay in the fold. And that became Schemes. You know what I'm saying? Everyone, like, he was one of the best schemers in battle rap. It probably still is, right? But now, because having content is like the bare minimum, right? It's very hard to just be a back-to-back puncher and, you know, ascend to stardom. I think the reason why Easy the Block Captain became one of the newest megastars in battle rap is because, you know, he brought back a feel that people weren't getting, whether it be the street talk, the drug talk, and just talking down to your opponent, right? That rugged style that used to be very prominent back in the day. I feel like a lot of battlers, newer battlers to be specific, are missing that part. You have a couple people that are exceptions. Like I said, it's not absolute for new battlers, right? Because and honestly, truthfully, the battlers that are just sticking to the bar for bar style are still pretty talented. Like, I love Elijah Strait. I think Elijah Strait is dope. I think Hansel is dope. But even though he's trying to incorporate, like, the angling aspect into his game too, you know, I think there's a lot of up-and-coming talents that have the potential. But I'm just saying what the truth of the matter is. I feel like now everyone is expected to at least have somewhat of a punch count. So it's kind of on them to kind of figure out the rest from there, you know? Like, even with being comedic, right? I feel like Pat Stay, RIP Pat Stay, I even feel like he had to somewhat morph his style a bit, you know, in the latter portion of the 2010s. I even feel like he was a little bit more punch heavy, you know, as time went on. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I would say that, like, you had a lot more of an all-around nature back then. But I still feel like, in terms of creativity with bars, I still feel like there's still a high level of creativity now than before. But that comes with, like, just evolution of anything, you know? So, I don't know. I think it's kind of a trade-off. I would say that, like...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You know, it would be nice to have more refreshing styles in battle rap. But as a person that's like heavily, heavily, heavily interested in wordplay, double entendres, you know, metaphors, similes, and imagery and all that, I still feel like even the guys that are like just straight bar for bar guys are still really talented because they're saying stuff that I've never heard. So, yeah. But that's a good question, though, because, you know, that might spark a video idea, actually. I won't lie to you. But, yeah, no, I do feel like in terms of that all-around nature that we speak about now, there's very few that are, like, all-around battlers now in comparison to before, in my opinion. So,
I forget the video that I was watching of yours, but you had mentioned that something about the best comparison of being a battle rapper is to, like, a WWE wrestler.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could kind of talk about that. Like, is it just like the charisma that you need, the like performance behind it? Like, you can't just be super athletic or huge if you're in the WWE. You have to like bring other things to the table.
Yeah. So it's funny you mention that, because I usually do that for like my rapper Pentagon videos. But so yeah, I do a segment at the end of some videos called It's Kind of Like Wrestling. Shout out to DNA, because he has a wrestling podcast, a really successful one as well too. But I did the segment back in 2022 before wrestling kind of became like a huge thing in battle rap. Like, I feel like it was ingrained in battle rap for sure, but I don't feel like it became a huge thing until like 2020, late 2022, early 2023. But when I craft those ideas, I'm primarily talking about the career arc of the performer, right? For both of them, right? Because I feel like that's the best way to do a comparison. You can kind of do style as well, too. Like, I think one of my favorite comparisons that I did was I compared Cortez to William Regal, because I feel like they're both extremely underrated when it comes to what they bring, not only to the leagues or in wrestling case, the promotions that they worked for, but it's also just the underrated aspect that they have in the ring. I feel like William Regal was one of the more proficient technical wrestlers you'll find, and I feel like Cortez is one of the best pure rappers in battle rap, you know. So it was a mixture of career art, a mixture of career comparisons, but also the stylistic part too. I compared Twerk, and some people disagreed, but I could care less. I feel like it was a great comparison. I compared Twerk to Rob Van Dam. I feel like when it comes to just being like one of the most electrifying in-ring talents in Rob Van Dam, and one of the most electrifying battle rappers ever, when speaking about Twerk, I feel like it was a great comparison in that regard. I feel like there's always this notion of their talent, right, not necessarily measuring up to what they could be, because on Rob Van Dam's end, they tried to put the belt on him, but he had a situation that occurred and he couldn't hold the belt, and then he kind of got, you know, pushed onto the back burner. And in Twerk's case, it's just been the inconsistencies, for lack of a better term, you know. So I thought that was a great comparison too. I compared what's another one? I compared just recently JC to Rey Mysterio, and that was just easy because it's like both talents are extremely consistent. Both are very short, and both have like distinguishable things that make them all time greats. Rey Mysterio is a multiple time WWE champion, but he's also one of the best high flyers in a wrestling history, you know. And I feel like in JC's case, he's one of the most consistent battle rappers in battle rap. And he's also one of the best gatekeepers we have in battle rap. When you need someone that can be the measuring stick of whether someone's going to make it or someone isn't going to make it, JC's the perfect guy for it. I feel like gatekeeper has like a negative connotation, but in regards to JC, you've seen Geechee go against him and he became a star. You've seen Twerk go against him and he became a star. But then on the other end, you've seen other talents go against him and he showed them they weren't ready yet. So I feel like Rey Mysterio kind of operated at that level as well too, because he was always like a mid-carder. But if he was going against an up-and-comer and they showed some promise, usually they got a push after that. So I'm very, very thoughtful and intentional when it comes to these things. So I hate when people like have all these critiques and don't even give me a chance to explain, because like more often than not, I'm not just saying these things just to say them. So
you mentioned like career arcs, and I was wondering if you had any insight into battle rapping as a career for these guys who perform a lot or perform on the biggest stage. Are these guys doing this often enough or on the biggest stage enough that they're able to kind of live off of their performances? Has it gotten to a point like that?
I can only go off of what I've heard and know, because I'm not really behind the scenes like that. But what I can say is that like there's some battlers that do make a living off of battle rap. Now, there also has been talks that like more recently that, you know, the money in battle rap is not quite what it used to be, specifically, you know, with, you know, King of the Dot kind of being out the fold, RBE being out of the fold. And then you mix in the fact that, you know, URL is no longer working with Caffeine. the money's much pretty much in a different place. But I feel like we always have these cycles in battle rap where, you know, there's like a, I guess, a downslope in terms of like the demand, but then there's like an influx on the other end, you know, too. I feel like after 2012, there was kind of like the same situation where, like, you know, you had Cannabis come in and battle Disaster. You had Summer Madness too. You had, like, you know, all these major things, kind of helping the culture flourish, right? But I feel like there's always going to be a reset in the culture, you know. So, but in terms of like battle rap is living off of battle rap, yeah, I feel like you see it. But the thing is, though, is that a lot of the battle rappers are also using their status and using their brand for outside ventures. DNA is probably one of the most business savvy battle rappers in battle rap. I feel like outside of him just having his individual brand, and even before this time period, he was bringing in sponsors. He was involving himself with other industry rappers, whether it be getting Havoc on one of his mixtapes or whatnot. He was obviously involved in ESPN with K-Shine at one point in time. And even now, after he took his hiatus, like, he's still doing stuff with Power, the show Power on Stars. He has his wrestling podcast. He's doing stuff with them as well, too. I think that there are certain battlers with a particular status, with a particular draw power, that can live off of battle rap. But is it the smart thing to do? Absolutely not, because battle rap is not necessarily the most stable market. I'm not saying that there's not potential in it becoming a stable market, but I am saying that we have a lot of work to do before it becomes one. There's a lot of battle rappers that were getting their best checks during that 2020 to 2021 era where Caffeine was involved. There's people getting tens of thousands of dollars for a battle, you know, but that goes to show you that, like, that's not always going to be a constant, you know? So I would say that, you know, for any up and coming battler, right, like, it wouldn't be the brightest thing to, like, leave a job that you have to try to pursue it full time. Mm-hmm. And even look at Real Deal. Real Deal, if I'm not mistaken, still is in education, and he still battles, you know. So even he wouldn't suggest, like, leaving a job to do battle rap full time. I don't know for sure, but I would venture to say that he probably hasn't really done battle rap full time, but he's battled so often to where it makes you feel like he is, you know. So, but yeah, man, I would say that, like, there are some battlers that could just live off of battle rap, but is it the smartest thing to do? No. Like, even there's even battlers that, like, that are doing music, right? That are trying to kind of, like, use the status that they have in battle rap and kind of, like, make it transcend into the music side of things. And I think that's a smart thing to do. I feel like, you know, you don't have to be stationary within one medium, right? It's always important to kind of, like, network and, you know, build connections outside of your realm. So,
is like a good comparison to this, you know, like a athlete, like a current professional athlete who knows, you know, you can't play forever. You're going to age, your body's going to start to break down, and you kind of have to set yourself up for your life after your playing days, whether if you're in the NFL or NBA or hockey player. Is that kind of like a decent comparison?
It's for sure a good connect. My only reservation is that, you know, obviously in battle rap, I forgot who said this, but battle rap is one of the only sports where, like, age is not the end all be all when it comes to being able to perform at a high level, because it's a mental thing, and the older you get, the wiser you get and whatnot. But in the regard of knowing that you're not always going to be, like, the hottest commodity, is something that people have to recognize. So to that point, yes, I do feel like you have to take, you know, your status, your brand, and all the things that you have within the culture, and kind of transform those things into asset outside of it as well, too. So I do agree with that point. Because in football, a lot of the NFL players eventually, you know, start lobbying for those sports analyst roles, right? Because it's like, it's right up their alley. They get to talk about the sport they love, so on and so forth. And they're going to make good money doing it, right? It's like a seamless transition. I feel like for battle rap, though, there's battlers that are doing that, but just in different ways. I feel like I think Hitman said this. He said that, you know, after, you know, doing battle rap and then kind of shifting it to Wildin' Out, which in his own is his own, like, transition and, like, transforming your talents into a different asset. He's gotten into acting. He's starting to do movies on Tubi, starting to do shows and whatnot. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see another, if we see like a pipeline of bad rappers becoming actors, because we see WWE stars become actors or become sportscasters and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see another pipeline emerge from those transitions.
With the ebbs and flows of a battle rap league, like in terms of views, do you think, is that the biggest reason why some battle rap leagues just don't exist anymore? And I'll use the example of the very first rap league that I ever watched was Grind Time yeah. Now. And after a while, I all of a sudden came back onto YouTube watching rap battles and Grind Time was gone. Is it pretty much only like a views thing? Not enough people watch these leagues, so they kind of go under?
No, I don't think it's views. And quite honestly, I think there's this, and I think that, you know, league owners have been more vocal about this. I think that views, well, first off, views are, don't really, bring in revenue like that anymore. And even back then, they wasn't really bringing in revenue like that. Like, I think that there's been countless battle rappers or league owners that said that they were in the red a couple times when they're crafting these events. And you got to think specifically for Grind Time. There's a burden in being great, and there's also a burden in doing stuff for the culture. I know that, you know, that comes off as harsh, but it's the reality. I feel like when you have these once in a lifetime events, there's usually an aftermath that kind of, like, you know, creates, like, you know, issues for leagues, right? When it came to Battle of the Bay 5, one of the biggest, best events ever that Grind Time created, think about all those figures on the card. Arsenal, Conceited, Thesaurus, Ilmac, Pass, Dumbfounded, Hollow, Marv, Averb. Like, think about all those people on the card, right? Think about all the money you have to, like, facilitate and distribute to all those individual talents, right? I think Lush just openly talked about just going in the red for getting T-Rex on his platform to battle, you know? So when we talk about, like, just longevity of leagues, and particularly, I think it's primarily based in just swinging for the fences often. Now, granted, Grind Time lasted for a while, so I don't want to apply that to them. But when you say, like, leagues going out of business or, you know, going out of commission, it's primarily because they try to swing for the fences early and they can't really sustain the money that they're spending, right? I think that's why there's people that are, I guess, intrigued with how TBL will look in a couple of years, because, you know, they're coming. So a lot of people, even though they've been around for a while, a lot of people they're thinking they're coming out of left field, just booking these mega matches, like, you know, Daylight and Nitty, and then just recently they just booked Rum Nitty and Cal, Hitman and Mook and whatnot. But Chilla has been openly saying that, like, it's about booking stuff that you know that you can, like, have a return on investment on. And I feel like back then, and you got to think, when Grind Time was in the fold, you know, there wasn't really a blueprint or format as to how to run a league.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem.
Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You know, like, I feel like it's been a lot of trial and error, you know, and I feel like with those amazing events that they gave us, unfortunately, they couldn't sustain it, you know, and then you mix that in with league-on-league warfare, right, having competitors that are seeking the same talent that you're booking, that's not a good situation to be in. So, but in regards to Elise going out of business, I ultimately think that it has nothing to do with views, because I feel like if you have good content, people will find it in some way, shape, or form, right? It's about being able to sustain it, you know? Like, we've seen Guardians of the Culture go out of business not too long ago, a few years back. We've seen, you know, just various leagues go out of business, right? And I guess that's the cost of having, like, your 3 months, 5 months of fame, you know? So, yeah, I think it's all about sustainability, being able to book what's needed, right? Book what can bring traction, while also being able to sustain the money to, like, you know, have that longevity. Like, I shout out URL, shout out RBE, shout out, like, a in King of the Dot for being able to sustain for so long, you know? I also shout out, like, the developmental leagues, like OSBL, iBattle, for being able to book all those talents, right? Knowing that they're essentially, like, crafting those talents to be stars for other leagues, but still putting forth the effort into creating content and booking all those talents. Because otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be being able to have a crop of talent that we can look forward to. So, but yeah, I think the key word for, you know, league longevity is sustainability, for sure.
We started this conversation talking about a little, we had mentioned Kendrick, and, you know, there was a big feud that happened between Kendrick and Drake. And I was wondering, seeing kind of what happened with that and the tracks that were made back and forth, is it at all comparable to if these guys got, you know, on the stage and went three rounds against each other? Or is doing diss tracks, is that like a different like mental muscle versus battling and dissing somebody on a stage?
It's very similar. I think that's why a lot of battle rap bloggers, shout out to Jay Black, he made a killing off of covering that that particular content. Shout out to him. I think that's why there's a reason why a huge portion of battle rap culture was clinging onto that, because it's very close to the battling aspect. I do think it's different, though. I do think that when you're, for one, you're crafting pretty much theoretically three songs into one format, right? There's that aspect of it. It's performing live against people. There's not multiple takes that you're doing to get this inflection right, or adding this sound effect to what you're doing, or having production enhance what you're saying, you know? So obviously there's differences in that regard, but I think that the aspect of character assassination, the focus specifically on, you know, I think the focus on the lyrical aspect, what the content is, right, is important, has become a major thing when it comes to diss tracks as well, too. I think, you know, angles, I've never heard the word angle used so much outside of battle rap until they started, like, their back and forth. It was actually kind of cool to hear people say it, but, like, angles has been, like, a term that's been heavily associated with battle rap, so it was kind of cool for me to hear them say it outside of that realm. But, yes, angles is another thing, too. How you position your content and how you're trying to convey your message to your audience as well, too. But to answer your question, it's still a far cry away from what actual battle is. There's so many other elements to go into it, right? There's so many other things to go into it, from the performance aspect, from the memory aspect. And I love Kendrick Lamar, but, like, he performed Euphoria at the pop-out show, and he messed up like twice, I think, or three times, right? So technically, that would be a choke in a battle, you know? So, I do think there's a extra layer of complexity and difficulty when you're actually battling. But I think there's beauty in like that being connected to battle rap, because oftentimes they try to treat battle rap as like its own like, I don't know, I just feel like they try to separate battle rap from hip-hop, like it's not the same thing, like it's not a part of the same umbrella. So I think it's beautiful that you hear Drake say he's influenced by battle rappers, that you hear Kendrick Lamar go on like a major platform and say he's influenced by Murder Mook, Loaded Lux, Tay Rock, Daylight. Because oftentimes I feel like these battle rappers are probably one of the most talented rappers ever, but they just don't get the recognition that they deserve, right? I think that the Drake and Kendrick feud did was for sure place more emphasis on the lyricism of hip hop, and I think that was needed 100%. But I can't really fully compare it to an actual battle, because I know what it, from a consumer standpoint, I know how much goes into doing an actual battle. So that's what I'll say about that.
Just a couple more questions, M. Lang. As it stands right now, or as of today, what have been your favorite lines or schemes that you've heard?
Oh man, that's I have a Rolodex of like lines that I just recite like by myself. Favorite line. So this would be easy for me if I just like say a favorite line from like my favorite battle rappers. So like if I was to do Nitty, my favorite line from him would be, when he told Chess, he said something along the lines of, my career depends on homies, accurate punching, acupuncture, my career depends on bodies. That's one of my favorite lines from him, along with he told Tress, I'm walking right up on a caveman, this is human evolution. And then when he told Twerk, y'all said he was going to beat me to death. You're right. He died first. Amazing. And then most recently, when he told Daylight, someone was saying that, yeah, B-Magic already had a Daylight Saving Spar. Times have changed. Amazing. Like, creative. Spectacular, if you will. Chilla. One of my favorite schemes from him, he had a John scheme where he did like their last name in a scheme against John. He had Cena, Stamos, Wick. It was a crazy scheme that he had against him. He had a DiCaprio scheme where he did all the DiCaprio movies against Charlie Clips in a rematch. He also had a scheme against DNA where it was like a bodily fluid scheme that he did against him. And then he had a, like an open, closing, smoking. So smoking, leave him smoking scheme. That was ridiculous. So Chillar, he has a bunch of great lines. Now, Ill Will, he's always been in my top five. Ill Will has like some of my favorite like scrunch face lines that he's like, and I've been in the building for a couple of them, and I've also just had the same scrunch face watching it on YouTube. But when I think of Ill Will's lines, I think of when he told Johnny Alcatraz he got a new AR that'll put him in the ER so he can see why he shouldn't forget where he come from. Crazy. When he told B-Magic, what's the line? You're nobody till somebody kills you. That's what Biggie taught. You think you outrun these shells? That's what Ricky thought. Insane. He told Hitman, and I was in the building for this one. When he said the 30 and a 19, yeah, it's legal, but it's gonna look insane, man. It was just crazy. And then just recently against Jaden Nightwing, he said that, like, I can never be a mechanic because every time I had my hand in the hood, it made things worse. Like, genius, right? And then Hitman, people label him as the performer, which he is. Like, he's one of the best performers ever. But specifically when he told John, which it's the delivery aspect, but I do think that, like, when there's a layer of, like, reality to the bar, it makes it fire. But, like, when he told John, he said that, like, we're not ordinary people. I put John around legends because, like, they open up, like, he's the reason why, like, John was able to open up Summer Madness, you know, against him. When he told K-Shine that, like, I can't believe you. You have the nerve to fake five the same hand that used to feed you, when he was referencing, you know, him doing the fake five to T-Rex. He has a lot. I want to say when Ilmac, I love Ilmac, when Ilmac did his scheme against Bender, it was like a deodorant scheme. That was crazy. I love the dream sequence that he did for Big K in his third round as well, too. Really liked his opener, or one of his openers in the first round against Rum Nitty, where they said I went against Jin and Rum back to back. Wow. Perfect time for me to black out. You know, it was just crazy, man. There's a lot of lines that I love and like, you know what I'm saying? Twerk, last person I'm going to do. Twerk. Twerk has so many, honestly. I can say him versus JC. The stomach shot, that's for anybody small intestine. A-verb. Spine shot from an old Mac, give him a floppy disk. Crazy. When he said against Chess, he had he was the first one to do like the 50 Cent upside down in the club. Crazy as well, too. I gotta do this one. Cause it's almost a triple, almost, right? He said against Tay Rock, he had like a shoot an oval off his head, like Monica Lewinsky, like the oval off his head, like take an oval off his head, and then like oval off his head, obviously fellatio, whatever, and then like take the oval off his head. So it's like it's almost a third because it's like they took the Oval Office away from Bill Clinton after the situation, too. So it's almost a triple, you know? So that's one of my favorite lines because, like, it's just so creative and out there. Like, yeah. 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 There's more, but I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah. Yeah. I love those lines, man.
Do you like when battle rappers make callbacks to lines?
Absolutely.
From, so maybe like an example, if like Hitman does the remix or John yeah. does the multiple choice.
Yeah. Those are signature moves, man. I mean, I think I did a battle rap tactics video for signature moves as well, too. But I just like the callbacks in general. Like Hollow did one against Shine where he said, is that the reason why for your speech impediment? Is that the reason why you said when you said Michigan sounds like Michigan? Because he did that versus Cal. Obviously, he always get made fun of he always gets made fun of for doing the like chicken pox. If you touch me, you're gonna get it. Everybody makes fun of him for saying that. Pat Stay, and this is always and this is just done in general, but like when you say a bar that like looks bad in retrospect, like you said this and this versus this battler. Pat Stay did this against Hollow. He said, you told such and such that you're like peanut butter because you ain't got no nuts. Hollow, what the fuck? Like, it was just, I love callbacks. Surf is the best with it, though. I think Surf has the best callbacks because he can intertwine it with, like, signature moves, right? Like, he always has, like, he has the swear to God. He has the lockpick his door. He has the subtitle.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
He has the code for a body. Like, he has so many special moves, you know? But that's the thing. I think I like callbacks because specifically on the opposition's end, because that shows that the battler has studied their opponent. That's why I like it more. I also like it when a battler does a callback, not just for the sake of a callback, but for angling purposes. Because that means you really, really are trying to break down someone's work, too. I appreciate that as well, too. So I always love callbacks, especially when they're funny. Like, what Mike P say against Tink, he said, "I don't fear no man unless someone tells me Av coming." Like, because obviously he lost to Av like a couple battles before that, you know. But Mike P is also one of the best when it comes to callbacks as well, too. So
for the future, are there any newcomers to battle rap that you kind of think are going to end up being very prominent names, or anybody that you're paying attention to?
Yeah, so I mentioned them before, and again, it's funny because I kind of was saying that like a lot of them are bar-for-bar guys, you know, so they haven't really developed the all-around style yet, which it takes time. I do want to say that because I know that conversation was a while ago, so it kind of came off negative, but I do want to say that like I do feel like these guys are the same guys that can still develop their style as they go on. But in terms of talents that I'm heavily invested in and think that they could be stars, I want to say Hansel. I kind of started like really following Hansel when he battled on the Monopoly card in 2021. I thought he was really good there, and I still think that he's could be a prominent figure. Tay-Rock called him out after his Champion of the Year ceremony, so obviously there's people that's looking at him as a person that could ascend. So Hansel for sure, Eunice without question. I think Eunice is the most talked about newcomer in battle rap as we speak. I think he's representing like a whole new wave of new talent, for better or for worse. I think there's always going to be like somewhat of a burden in being a new talent, because there's going to be a measuring stick. It's sometimes unrealistic measuring stick that you kind of have to meet just because of like how great the predecessors were, you know. So you always have to like reset the wheel, you know, and like it takes a lot more to wow people because like we're like in our third, fourth, fifth generation of battle rap. So it's like we kind of heard everything under the sun at this point. But I think Eunice has done a great job kind of, carrying that mantle. I would say Appa as well, too. You know, he had an amazing run at iBattle as the champion there. I would say King, as a Midwest representative myself, I think King is up next coming out of the Midwest. I think he's one of he's one of those bar-for-bar guys that I honestly think that they're going to, like, you know, excel and become, like, another all-time puncher and all-time great, you know. So I think King for sure. It's a lot of new talents. Wusai has actually impressed me most recently with his last run here. He's had good battles with Av. He had a good performance against Foots as well, too. He's making a lot of noise, and they're actually campaigning for him to be on Summer Madness as well, too. And I'm very trying to be very careful because I feel like there are people that are newer, but I wouldn't consider them new talents because like there's that little like mix there. So like I personally am not really going to bring up like say like a Fonz who's like kind of becoming a new star when it comes to new YouTube, or even Real Sick who's like starting to gain traction on YouTube as well too. I don't consider them new talents. I consider them like our new top tiers, right? So I'm trying to be very specific when I'm naming these people. Capo as well too. I think that he's going to be, you know, another representative of the South is going to get a lot of traction as well too. Rock Lee as well. I think in the lady circuit she's going to be a star. Asiya Mora is another lady that I think is going to be a star. Big Ice as well too in the lady circuit. There's a lot of good new talents out there, honestly. I would say I'm still heavily invested in what trying to think. There's so many new talents. I'm actually going to do a project with Frank White, one of the biggest sponsors in battle rap at the moment, one of the biggest battle rap supporters here within this year, to kind of talk about the best new talents in battle rap as we speak. So, you know, if I missed a couple names, I do apologize. I'm a person that's like, I'm not a scripted person per se, but I am a person that tries to kind of like scribe everything out. That way I'm, you know, accounting for everything. But those were a couple of new talents that came to mind for sure. But I know there's a bunch of new talents that I probably failed to mention. Oh, there we go. Tex as well too. I do think that he's a guy that's going to be extremely, extremely impactful as years goes on. Muwap as well too. Justice. I'm gonna stop because I'm gonna keep naming people. But yeah. Look out for that video that me and Frank White have coming up, because I think that it's going to do a great job in highlighting the new talents that are going to be on the rise in the next couple of years.
Well, M-Lang, thank you so much for sitting down with me and, you know, having the conversation. I really have enjoyed your content. It's been a while since I was into battle rap years and years ago, and then I stumbled on your channel and it got me kind of reinvigorated in it. So I think your content.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, I think that I for sure think that battle rap moves faster and faster as years goes on, because there's so many leagues, so many battles, and it's kind of hard to keep up with like all the stuff that's going on. But hey, I just try to do my best to kind of, you know, inform people. And like I said, most of my stuff is retrospective pieces. And I know that like most of like the traction and most of the traffic and interest is coming from like a place of nostalgia, right? And I'm cognizant of that, and I'm aware of that, you know, but I think that hey, why not weaponize it? you know, a lot of people feeling nostalgic. Why not weaponize it? And also, I think that, you know, as I go through, because this is going to be like my going into my fifth year of being a content creator soon. As I go through like this kind of transition period, I do want to add even more dimensions to the show outside of retrospective stuff. Eventually, I will do more current event stuff as well. Just because I feel like we're in a time period where content, specifically being a person that covers battle rap, is focused on a lot on other things besides the actual content itself, besides the actual battles itself. And I do think that we need more of a balance there. And with me only doing like retrospective pieces, it reminds people of the culture, of what the culture used to be. But I think we need to do a better job. And when I say we, I'm talking about myself. We need to do a better job of highlighting where the culture is headed. And I think that, you know, it's kind of my responsibility to do that. You know, it's very easy for me to like do these retrospective pieces and talk about the good times, right? You know, and drawing an audience that way. But I think that when it comes to new fans and when it comes to like trying to expand the audience, you kind of need to highlight, you know, things for things coming in the future. So yeah, I'm still trying to balance that. And like I mentioned, I think I alluded to this earlier. I'm very big on educating and informing people about the past, just because it, you know, it does a great job of like setting the foundation of for what the future looks like. And I'm in this weird area where I'm like, I'm not really a fan that was around during like Scribble Jam or Smack DVD or anything like that. I'm also not really a fan that was around like around the caffeine era, if you will, or even like 2018, 2019. I'm like right in the middle where like I was right in the middle of like the golden era of battle rap. Like I feel like 2000, well, let me not say golden era, because I literally did an eras thing on my channel. But like if I was to compare it to wrestling, right? I was in the attitude era of battle rap. Right. I feel like I was in like that was the boom of battle rap, like the battle rap boom, if you will. Like I became a fan during that period. Then I became an analyst during the caffeine era. Right. My job is to kind of bridge that gap between all eras. Right. So there's an appreciation for every iteration of the battle rap culture. And with that, right, I want to kind of both inform older fans of where the culture is now and what it looks like. And then on the flip side, I want to introduce like the historical documentation to newer fans. That way they can understand, you know, why older fans say what they say. That way there's like more of a continuity there, you know? I feel like in hip hop specifically, I mentioned not really like people not really paying homage. But another thing I should mention is that, like, sometimes the elder men don't really take the time to educate the newer people as to why certain things are the way they are. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. Instead, they rather really ridicule people as opposed to, like, giving them the information they need to understand. And I think because, like, you know, outside of, like, battle rap, I'm an educator and, I teach students, teach kids and whatnot. I think that's probably why like I have such a passion for that particular thing, because if we don't take the time to give them the knowledge or the information about, you know, the culture and, you know, what it used to be, you can't really preserve it. So that's why I'm pretty adamant about the history of the battle rap culture. And then even as a person that's adamant about it, I would still be transparent and say I think I barely scratched the surface of battle rap history. There's still some things that I'm still reading up on or searching on or finding background on as we speak, because I feel like battle rap has been around longer than Scribble Jam, longer than, you know, the WRCs, longer than the Rap Olympics and stuff like that, you know? So I think my journey as a battle rap historian has just begun. And I think there's more for me to dig into. So
that's awesome. That I, you know, I can't wait to see, you know, the future content that comes out. And thank you again for sitting down and talking with me. And one last thing, for people to connect with you, are you on any social media at all?
So most of my interactions with people are going to be on Twitter. So it's going to be mling4132 on Twitter. It's going to have the Speak in Our Language logo on there, which is like the SOL4 logo with the purple. It's going to be a purple icon. You can reach out to me there. I'm always active on there. If you want to comment under the videos, we can have a conversation there as well too. I'm not really into the Reddit culture thing, so you know, because a lot of content creators are into Reddit. I'm not per se. I think that's its own underbelly that I kind of want to, you know, steer clear from. But for sure on Twitter, I'm available. And hey, you may find a couple comments from 10 years ago on a said battle that I was very adamant about then. So, yeah, but Twitter, mling4132, Speaking Our Language Show. You can find me there. I'm easy to contact, easy to get a hold of. I mean, you could tell them, you emailed me in like, I don't remember the time you emailed me. I probably responded within like 5 minutes, you know? So, you know, I'm very big on, I'm very passionate about battle rap, but I'm also very big on collaboration and keeping that and keeping the community aspect of battle rap as well too. So when you reached out, I had no choice but to like make this happen. So I do want to give a special shout out to all, because I'm very, like I said, I'm very big on community, very big on giving flowers to people while they can still smell them. So did want to give a big shout out to all like people that inspired me, or all you know, counterparts that like have helped me along the way in the journey. So special shout out to, and I'm gonna try to cut it to like 16 people. It's probably gonna be more than that. Special shout out to Jason Moore Reviews. That's my homeboy. I mean, he's the reason why I still do blogging to this day. So he's one of the best battle rap minds in battle rap. So shout out to Jason Moore Reviews. Shout out to LTBR, one of the most influential, impactful media outlets in battle rap. Shout out to Ledge from Top Tier Podcast, and also shout out to Nico as well too. Very instrumental in me coming up through the battle rap ranks as well too, as a media person. Shout out to Jay Black, one of my biggest inspirations in battle rap. I think that he's his value and, you know, just all the things that he was able to implement within the culture cannot be understated 100%. Shout out to Jay Black. Shout out to my champion gold staff with Jay Black as well too. Shout out to you guys. Special shout out to Battle Rap Trap. Love their documentaries. They're part of the reason why like I wanted to do one of the larger works. I feel like when D.I. the Handyman was doing like his documentaries for events, it was very, very, very you know, ambitious. And I will always respect that. Like he has some of the best documentaries in battle rap, in my opinion. Shout out to him. I want to give a special shout out to Rap Redux. That's my guy. He does a lot of great documentaries too. I kind of mirror some of the stuff I do with him. He's from the UK. He does a lot of great work, a lot of great work. Shout out to him. He has an amazing special project coming out soon. I think that's going to really, really strike the airwaves. Very happy for him. Shout out to New Era Podcast as well too. Those people influence me a lot. They do a lot of great work. I know Swayze is kind of taking a step back from battle rap media, but still a major inspiration, you know, for me as well. Special shout out to, I mean, I'm gonna come back to the battle rap people, but I'm also go to the people outside of battle rap. 616 Entertainment, special shout out to him. He does a lot of like documentaries on video games. Specifically, he did a Mortal Kombat documentary that was pretty dope. I would suggest you guys check that out. He did a SmackDown documentary as well too. Just very, very great when it comes to creating scripts, also implementing like his own anecdotes with it too. So shout out to him. Shout out to Watch Mojo for the inspiration for my Rapper's Pentagon stuff. Shout out to Clayton Crawley. I love that guy. He's amazing. He does basketball content. He did something called Making a Case. So he had like 7 basketball players, and he kind of created a case for all of them being the GOAT in their own way. Very, very, very inspirational work from him. Clayton Crawley is one of the best when it comes to historical documentation of basketball. Shout out to him. Who else? Shout out to Three Letterman. That's my OG. I don't know. Like, that's just my OG. Like, if anytime I need to go for him for anything, you know, he's always giving me words of wisdom, pearls of wisdom. He's one of the most gifted hip-hop historians that we have in the culture. When it comes to just battle rap stuff and also hip-hop stuff, he probably knows more than anyone in the culture for me. So shout out to him. I don't want to miss anybody. Shout out to... You're going to have to edit this. a special shout out is going to come to me. It's going to come to me. Give me 1 second. Shout out to Motown Maven. She actually does her own content on YouTube. A very positive person. She's one of the first people that actually did a collab on my show. One of the biggest supporters that I had at the time. Shout out to Doc Hugh Petty. He was another person that was very instrumental in my growth, very instrumental in giving me the positive reassurance and reaffirmation that I needed to continue to do battle rap content. Shout out to Bad Money as well too. Another OG of mine that keeps me, you know, afloat. Also, you know, is always giving me pearls of wisdom when it comes to crafting material and crafting content. I don't want to miss anybody. That might be everybody for now. But yeah, special shout out to all you guys, man. I love you guys. You guys have been a major reason as to why I've been successful. A major reason as to why I even do battle rap content. And also, one other person. Shout out to Angry Fan. I think that he is easily one of the, you know, founding fathers of battle rap content, being a blogger. I will say, he's one of the most controversial figures in battle rap, 100%. But I will also say that his dedication to covering the sport as long as he has been, you know, should be respected 100%. So shout out to him as well too. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. For everybody out there, my name is Chris. This has been Cheatash. Take care.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.